from the light that wrote it, the light in his service. The servant is the last master. What shall we do? Look at all the hills covered with this. Syrians, what are we going to do?
The Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes.
The eyes of the young man were open, and he saw God's face. And above the mountain, he saw God's mighty army,
ready, waiting for the Syrians to move, and God would move.
But here stood Elijah on his servant, just 2 minutes.
God was with
him. It was these who were faithful, especially Elijah. God was on their side,
and he won.
Oh, the need for realizing what it means to have God with you and God for you. You don't have to worry about the crowd and about the mob and the great organization, the great association. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, said the Lord Jesus Christ, there am I in the midst of them.
I think of Mr. Stevens, Dr. Charles Stevens of Salem Baptist Church at Winston-Salem, dean of the Piedmont Bible College, back to Piedmont Bible College. He's had a nice time to fellowship with Brother Stevens. One time he said to me, Brother Wilson, I have 1,500 members. He said that 1/3 of them are Christians, that's all. And he said, if 1/5 of that 1/3 are living like Christians, that's a good percentage.
So he boiled them all down to 100 Christians that he could depend upon in a membership of 1,500. And maybe the Lord would have reduced that a little more. What did God do on this occasion? He certainly did some reducing. The Gideon has got too many. 32,000 too many. Reduce them. Get rid of the faint-hearted. 22,000 went home. So, Gideon thought, well, I've got 10,000. God says, there's still got too many. There's still too many. There are a lot among that 10,000 that are not courageous, they're not ready to fight. What did God tell him to do? Bring them down to the water. Bring them down to the water. You know, that's a very significant thing. Bring them down to the water. You can stop a lot of Christians by throwing them the baptismal hand.
They say they're Christians. They say they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, have they been baptized? No. You can stop them in the back. God can bring them down to the water. That's a good test. Whether they're really saved or not, they really want to love the Lord and obey His word.
Bring them down to the water. And what happened here? This is interesting. I like to read this story. It's very interesting. Notice in verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will tie them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, let him go on. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save thee, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his own place. Quite a reduction, isn't it? 32,000? 22,000? Now down to 10,000. 300. Can you do? Get 300 good men? That's all. You know, that's the way the Lord's people just about are summed up. You read about 500 brethren following the Lord at one time. Then you read about 120. Then you read of 70. Then you read of 12. Then you read of 3. Peter, James, and John. You get down to Mary, you've got one. And she's engaged in devoted worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have lots of people who say, I'm followers of the Lord, 500. If you start imposing the obligations of a Christian and your numbers start to reduce, and the number of true devotion to Jesus Christ, all in all for this, gets mighty small. It eventually comes down to the just as you. Just as you. What did the Lord say to the disciples? In John 6, he put a test to them. Except you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, there's no life in you, unless, in other words, you receive me into your heart to the extent where it controls your feet, your walk, your hands, what you do, and your thoughts. In other words, unless you're going to be my disciple, out and out,
no liking.
It says many went back and walked no more with him. They failed, they flunked the test.
Christ turned to the few and he said, will you also go away? I like Peter, although Peter denies the Lord, yet he stands out here.
He says, Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who did that turn to?
Arnold. Peter was going to stand. His mind stiffened at one time, buckled when he hailed to acknowledge Christ before a little girl. Then he denied the Lord, but Peter learned this little lesson. I'll tell you now, he's strong. He's not a coward, he's courageous.
He flunked once, but now he's faithful. He learned that he was nothing.
Now he's learned that Christ is everything. Down to 300. Why, that seems a small group to face a huge army with.
To the 300, battle was the important thing, but the man to the flesh was second.
Now let's see this. God says, bring this crowd of 10,000 down to the water. Gideon, I'm looking on.
Everyone that gets down on his knees and takes a good drink,
put him by himself.
The one that gets stooped down and takes a handful of water and laps it like this,
put him by himself. 300. They're the one. You know the other fellows. You can get through.
Boy, this stuff will be heavy in my bag. Let's take it off. Take off everything. He looked down his knees.
There is his face in the water. Get a good breath.
God said, no. I don't want that thought.
But this man, he's ready for battle. He's got his eye on the enemy. Not even going to get on his knees. Don't take anything off his knapsack. He just grabs a handful of water and laps it. He's still watching the country.
God said, that's the man I want.
He's more interested in the battle. He's more interested in the fight than he is a drink of water. He puts me first and his flesh second. They're the 300 men.
Yes, that's it. What is our first concern in life? Pleasing, sir? Enjoying, sir? Or is it pleasing God? These are the ones God needs. You know what's interesting to me? Things of this life are just snatched up in passing to the real Christian. His main business is serving the Lord. These 300, they get dropped up the water. That's secondary to what's our main business. We've got to keep our eye on the enemy and ready to fight at any second. And with these 300, why God was able to do something to depend on every one of the 300, every one of them. They were all tolerant. They were all faithful. Gideon to depend on every one of them. Relax.
Why is it wonderful when a group of Christians is in the center of everyone?
They're all there. They're not faint-hearted. They're not half-hearted. No, they're 300 too hot. You know, these people were being tested without knowledge. If they had been told beforehand what the test was, they likely all, although someone likely had done it against their will, they all would have done what the 300 did. But they didn't have any idea what kind of a test they were being submitted to. They didn't know what God had in his mind.
A simple thing. But you know, God was what? God was what?
You know, if we knew what kind of a test God was submitting us to, what he had in mind, we'd be on our best behavior. C.H. Spurgeon was a great character. One time he was upstairs having a day. Knock came to the door and the maid came up and said, Mr. Spurgeon, there's a man here who wants to have a talk with you. Mr. Spurgeon had heard about this man. He was a young man who wanted to go as a missionary. So when Mr. Spurgeon heard the young man arrive, he stayed upstairs. After he stayed, he went to his library and started studying, and he stayed there 1 hour, he stayed there 2 hours, he stayed there 2 hours. When he came down, the young man was furious. He was so mad, he hardly wanted to talk to Mr. Spurgeon. And he let Mr. Spurgeon know. Spurgeon said, you're the young man that wants to go to the missionary. And you don't have enough patience to wait 15 minutes. The young man, don't go to the foreign field.
He was being tested, but he didn't know.
A missionary's got to have patience. One of the first things an apostle Paul said, where not the things an apostle wrought among you in all cases.
And a preacher or an apostle has got to be preached for the first time. And that young man was being tested by this person he didn't know. I'm trying to be similar to them to this person. I like to read Spurgeon's story. Trying to be similar. Haven't sinned in so many years. This person happened to be shaving this time. Of course, in those days, they had one of those big old shaving mugs with a great big old brush, almost like a broom. And Spurgeon says, tell him to come in. And he walked in where Mr. Spurgeon was shaving, and Spurgeon was lathering his face. And the man started talking, and Spurgeon was shoved with big razors. Big brush of lather in the man's face. And the man got mad and lost his temper. Spurgeon said, I thought you didn't have any sin. He got mad. He didn't sin if he wouldn't have gotten it. So he failed under the test. God says, sometimes it's only little things. He's watching you, seeing what you're doing. Test you without our knowledge sometimes. A trifle may make our state apparent. Just a trifle. Well, that seemed an insignificant thing. You're taking up a handful of water and lapping it, and the others getting on their knees and taking a good big drink. That seemed a trifle. It was just enough to indicate the soldiers from the other fellows. Or somebody says a man from the boys. Separate the man from the boys. Just a little insignificant thing. You know, God is watching, ladies. And I'm going to say something here for your benefit. A little thing sometimes can indicate a thing, such as wearing a hat in a church service and not wearing it. Just a little thing. Oh, I don't see anything wrong with that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that the ladies ought to wear their hats as covering in the church. Not to do so is to disobey God's word. And that passage teaches rebellion against God's word, a failure to submit to God's authority in the church. Just a little thing like that. It is just a friend. Now, some don't know this, of course. In that case, they're innocent of the gift. But those who know it, and have been taught, and still rebel against it, I question if God will ever use to any great extent. It indicates a trend. Just a little thing. That's all. Just a little. But they've taken a handful of water and laughed. Lots of ladies haven't been shown that in the Bible. I hope they know now. Read the first chapter, the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So here we have the Lord. He's got his hand now. Faith with the faithful cave of 300 was not obtained by money, by knowledge, or influence. It cost death. It cost death. You couldn't buy a place among these 300. No, sir. They didn't want money. You didn't have to be an M.A. or D.D. to get a place among these 300. Or some big, prominent, influential character in town. No, sir. You couldn't be in these 300 with that way, with that. Any of those qualifications. You had to be out and out for the Lord. You had to meet the test.
God says he that is faithful in least is faithful in that which is much. I watch the little things. I watch the straws, and I see which way the current flows.
Just a little simple thing. That's what God does. God is watching little things. God says, I'll commit something to the man who's faithful in the little things. I know he'll be faithful when he's entrusted with much. David, you were faithful tending a few sheep. You were really faithful. You were courageous. You weren't faint-hearted. When a lion and a bear came after those sheep, you faced the lion, you faced the bear to defend a few animals. That teaches me this. You'll do the same when you are at the head of a flock of human beings. My people. My people. Moses, you too, fed the flock near the backside of the desert. You were faithful. You're the man. I was watching you that day. You didn't know it, but I had my eye on you. I saw your faithfulness. You did lead my people. And the Christian is faithful in everything. God will let you use him to be grateful.
till you've got your 300. The Lord will test. There's no mistake about that. Like the man, he said, I will follow the Lord whithersoever thou goest.
You will?
All right.
He says, take up your cross and follow me.
Take up your cross and follow
me. Oh, but Lord, then I've got to go and bury my father.
Well, you can.
Well, you can't follow me. Neither put his hand to the plow and looking back, not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You're putting nature before me. That seems quite severe, doesn't it?
Lord says, follow me. The man said, well, I've got to go and bury my father. Well, you'd have thought the Lord would have been considered enough to let him do that. The Lord was putting the young man to the test. The young man had said, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest.
All right. Come, follow me.
Right now. Then he thought of an excuse. Well, I've got to go and bury my father.
Why?
What that means is not that the father had just died, but there's a custom still in the East that a man stay home until his father dies and his father's an old man. That's what he was custom in the East. This young man immediately thought of the custom.
Oh, but my father's old. I forgot about that. And our custom is that I'm to stay with him until he dies. The Lord's gone back.
Take now out willing to forsake your father and your mother, you can't be my disciple. He failed. He drunk the fault. Very goodness. The Lord will test. There's no mistake about it. If you claim to be a Christian, born again Christian, you claim to love the Lord is going to put you to the test. And I ask you tonight, are you a Christian? Are you a born again Christian? Are you an out and out Christian? Are you a faint hearted Christian? A half hearted Christian? Or a whole hearted Christian? Christ is all and all to you. You know, it's so easy these days to just drift along with the crowd and not take anything too serious. Oh, if it's convenient, I'll go. Because if it's not convenient, I won't. But if you wait till everything's convenient, you won't do anything for the Lord at all. We're told to do what? Witness in season and out of season. Not a case of waiting till time is convenient. If you're waiting for that, everything to be convenient, everything to fall in line, before you do anything for the Lord, you won't do anything. Never are we finding everything convenient. Some people stay home sometimes when they've got a headache or they're sick. Another thing is a patient. Many a time I preached in this pulpit, and I thought somebody was hitting me on the head with a sledgehammer, and my head was something and something and something, and it wasn't anything but pleasant. I was here in agony. No excuse for the preacher. He can't stay home. He's got to go. Whether he's ready for it or not, whether he feels like it or not, whether he's fit for it or not, he's got to go. Least people did. Why should they demand more of the preacher than they are not prepared to do themselves? God says, Gideon, I approve you. I want 300 like you. Then I'll beat you. Chapter 6. Gideon was tested. And he was tried and true. Chapter 7. His followers are being tested. How many? How many? That's for you to ask. That's for you to ask. Now we've got to bring in consideration some people. I'm not telling you that if you're ready to drop dead with a heart attack, you've got to come to church. I've got more sense than to expect out of you. But I'm talking about little things. Little. And a good test to use is this. Well, would this keep me away from work tomorrow morning? No, it wouldn't. I'd go to work. Well, then it won't keep me away from going to church. I'm going to church. It is this. God is looking on, watching his little moves. These little things indicate great faith. Great characters are often discovered from the eye of God by little deeds. Little deeds. That was chapter 7 and verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him that is unto Gideon, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pura, thy servant, down the boat. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hand be strengthened to go down unto the boat. Then went he down with Pura, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers or multitudes. And their camels were without number, as a sand by the seaside for multitudes. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream, that is, a Midianite soldier, told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto the tent and told it that it fell and overturned it, but the tent lay alone. The fellow answered and said, This is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian, and all the host. This was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned to the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. Behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that, as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the little watch. They had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. The 3 companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands and blew it all. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. The 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. Even throughout all the hosts, and the host fled to Bethsheba in Galilee, and to the border of Abel Meholah and Kedah. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth-Barah. And Jordan, all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth-Barah and Jordan. And they took 2 princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Gideon, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon, and the other side, Jordan. Last week we were speaking upon the 300 faithful followers of Gideon, and how the Lord selected these 300 from 52,000. Then he reduced the number to 20,000, and out of 20,000, he selected 300. It's very significant how in studying your Bible, you run across something during the week that fits into the subject that you're taking up. This week, I ran across this. I thought it was very excellent, especially seeing we're taking up Gideon's 300 faithful soldiers, and called a challenge. Replying some time ago to the question, why are the socialists in Milwaukee so successful? The leader of the party in that city is reported to have replied, because we put 9/10 of our campaign funds into literature. Remember what we were saying this morning about the value of literature. 9/10 of their money goes into literature for the Socialist Party in Milwaukee. But here's what I want you to notice. And because we have 300 men, talking about Gideon 300, 300 for the purpose of placing literature printed in various languages in the Sunday morning newspapers found on the front door steps. It's all quite easy to get up. Registration of bread at 9:45. They get up at 5 o'clock. Scatter the literature. Socialists are just as fond of preaching on Sunday morning as Christians are. Joseph often worked as hard during the week as Christianity. Shall we not exert ourselves as heartily for the loving Savior as they do for a mere principle? If it be considered worthwhile to leave messages on socialism at the homes of sleeping citizens, it is surely much more worthwhile to give them messages of eternal value. What is your answer, my brother, my sister, to this challenge? For a challenge it truly is. Do you give of your time to this service to the Lord, so simple and yet fraught with such tremendous possibility? Or will you allow your lethargy to continue and leave souls to perish without an opportunity of carrying the message you could so easily give them? Do you think enough of the gospel of the youth? And do you sufficiently love your Lord to be willing to deny yourself just the little comfort that souls around you may learn of God's great salvation? Or must it be admitted that you do not care? What a searching challenge that is. Gideon 300, and you see, we have 300 socialists in Milwaukee, and they're rising to the occasion relative to politics. Now, in our subject tonight, we have Gideon with his 300. God has tested, he's weeded out the ones he wants, and now the battle is to be joined. You notice where the enemy is gathered? They're gathered at Pered, and Pered means trembling. And here is this vast host, and it was a vast host. You find in verse 12, it says, and the Midianites and Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for mortgages. And their camels are without number as the sand by the sea side for mortgages. And against this great host, this great army, 300 men. My, how unequal this struggle will be. That's so. God is with those 300 men, and they didn't leave a man. I was struck in studying this afternoon before coming to the meeting. They didn't have one casualty. Yes, they routed, they destroyed that great army, because God was with the 300 men. The enemy was friendly. But that's the meaning of Pharaoh, friendly. You know, God is a gracious God. How many stop to think of Gideon? Gideon had already had two remarkable signs that it was God's will for him to lead the 300 and to fight against the Midianites. You remember we were speaking 2 weeks ago tonight on the fleet? And how Gideon asked God to soak the fleet with dew and let the ground be dry, and so it was. And Gideon says, Lord, let me speak again, double this. Give me double evidence here with me. Now let the dew be on the ground all around and let the fleet be dry. And God answered him. Well, I would have thought that's all the encouragement, all the evidence that he needed. God is very considerate of his servant. You know what God did? He took it upon himself. Gideon didn't ask for this. He said, Gideon, I want you to take one of your men. And I want you to go down to the edge of the hosts of the Midianites. They're all encamped there in their tents. And I want you to take one of your men. If you don't want to go alone, take another man with you. And I want you to listen. And Gideon took this man with him, Judah by name. And down they go to the host. And they look. One of the Midianite soldiers wakes up. He wakes his family, but I just had a dream. He says, the barley sticks came tumbling into the camp of Midian and turned the tent over. That means another tent, and another tent, and another tent, and another tent. And his fellow soldiers said, that's nothing else. The sword of Gideon! And it struck fear into the army of the Midianites. The soldiers lost their morale. But oh, how it encouraged Gideon. Did Gideon need this encouragement? God said, I want to